We've been here for a while. Anybody know where we're going to be headed this morning? Matthew chapter 5. Matthew, the fifth chapter. Would you join me there at the very beginning of Matthew chapter 5? We're in the midst of the Beatitudes. We're getting down towards the end of them. Today we cover yet again one more aspect of peacemaking. So we're going to recap this morning on what a peacemaker is. You may recall that last week we talked about that peacemakers will be called the sons of God. Do you remember this, that there are several different names for children of God? Do you remember that? There was one called the technos, which means this was a child begotten by that mother and father. Children that belong to the family. And so a technos to God is someone that's been born again. Amen? Are you a technos? I pray you're a technos. Now this, I know it's Greek to you. It's Greek to me. But I pray that you belong through salvation to God the Father. Then there is another name, and we called it, if you remember what we compared it to a cookie, so we remember the name. Do you remember what it was called? Oreos, except it's pronounced Oreos, but we can remember it by calling it Oreo. And I hope that you're an Oreos, which means not only do you belong to God, but that you look like, act like, and have the characteristics of God. Amen? So not just a child, but a child that favors the Father. Folks, that's what we're talking about when God's Word tells us that they shall be called the sons, the oios of God. Would you stand in honor of reading God's Word, Matthew chapter 5. We begin with verse 1. We'll read down through verse 9. Jesus looked out, and it says that Jesus, seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, now you remember these Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I pray that as we say each of these, that if you've been here with us, that you recall what each of these mean. Secondly, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And our passage yet again today, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Now use that Greek word if you remember what it is. They shall be called what? Oios. Or you'll remember it. Just say Oreo. You'll remember it. Oios, oios of God. Children that belong to him, but also act and look like him. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray certainly that everyone who hears this message and many more, Lord, would come to know you as Heavenly Father, not just as that God up there, but Father, that they would become your children by being born again through the blood of Christ Jesus. But Lord, we pray that we would be more, that we would mature, that we would grow, that we would become the oios, those children that look like you in the way we act, in the way that we behave, in the things we say, the things we do, our character. God, we want to be like you. So this morning, Father, we look further at what peacemaking is, and we need your help. For Father, you are the God of peace. So we ask you, Lord, give us your characteristics that we might be like you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. A peacemaker. We talked about the world's idea of a peacemaker, and we talked about God's idea of a peacemaker. And we know this, that in either side, that a peacemaker is one that tears down walls, right? tears down walls of hostility between people. Listen, not just to get along, because it's not just about getting along in this world, but folks, and it certainly is never about getting along at any price, remember? Because it's not about getting along in the world's idea of peace, but it's actively seeking to have God's peace and actively seeking to reconcile people, everybody around us, not just to one another, but to God. Amen? That's what a peacemaker is, reconciling people to God. Jesus did this. Amen? He is the ultimate peacemaker, for he is the one who came to reconcile all people to God. And he did so at a great cost. Amen? Not guarding his own rights, but humbling himself even to death on a cross. Now, why would Jesus, God's Son, come to this earth and die, shed his blood on our behalf? Why would he pay such a great price to reconcile us to God? Let me tell you why. Because our God is a God of peace. I mean, people look through the Bible and go, wow, you know, you're talking about your God being a loving and caring God, but look at all the violence. Listen, he never took a people out in a way that he did not first give them an opportunity to come to him. Those folks are going to one place. If you reject God, it doesn't matter where in your life you rejected him, but if you stay away from God, you've got one direction. And God wanted all to come to know him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 defines our Lord, our God, as the God of peace. The God of peace. Now, this is proven to us as we come upon the season that we are moving into quickly. I know that as we head towards Thanksgiving, we get the fall themes. But folks, right behind it, and it used to be that the day after Thanksgiving, all the stores started putting up Christmas stuff. You know, they're already putting Christmas stuff up. Why? Because everybody likes Christmas. Well, listen, folks, what an opportunity to remind people what Christmas is really about. No, we don't believe that Jesus was born on December the 25th, but it is the day that was set aside to remember. This last week, we celebrated Veterans Day. We put our flags out. Not every veteran was born on November 11th, amen? How many veterans do we have here today? Bless your hearts. Raise your hands. Proudly we say, God bless you and thank you. How many of you were born on November the 11th? None of you? Well, I guess we didn't celebrate you on Thursday, right? No, not at all. We celebrate not only your service, but your love and your care. Folks, listen, as we celebrate Christ Jesus in what we call the Advent, that means the coming of Jesus. Advent, the coming of Jesus. It's not about a day. It's about the Savior. Amen? It's about Jesus. Not so much that we say we think he was born this time, but folks, it's about having Christ in our life and us being born to him. The advent of the Messiah, the advent of the Savior. That's Jesus Christ. Why did he come? Why did Jesus Christ come to this earth? Because he is a God of peace. A peace for your sake. A peace for my sake. He wanted us to be eternally reconciled to God the Father. So he came to make peace. Amen? And that's a wonderful thing. How can we miss this? So Advent is about peace on earth, but not just peace on earth, but peace to men for eternity through Christ Jesus. That's why Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, because he came to bring God's peace. Now, Jesus' mission was to give his life to bring men, to bring all men, men, women, children, every person that has ever been born or ever will be born. His mission was to bring peace to us with God. That was his mission. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20 said that he, Jesus, made peace with God through the blood of his cross.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "For he is our peace." He's not just about peace. He is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. What was the dividing wall with us and God? Our what? Our sin is the dividing wall between us and God. Because he said only those who are perfect can come back into heaven. Only those who are righteous can come back into heaven. And the only way we get it, because we have the dividing wall of our sin, is to have that dividing wall torn down. And who tore the wall down? Jesus. Who tore the wall down? Say it. Jesus. How did he tear it down? By shedding his blood. Listen, folks, when we get afraid of talking about the blood of Christ, we're in trouble. And there's a lot of folks out there that want to teach the gospel without the blood. There's no such thing. The blood of Christ on our sin is what brings us to the point that we are redeemed. As his children, not just those born of him, but those who are trying to become like him, his oios or oius, if you will, God sends us to do exactly what Jesus has done, exactly what God the Father has done. He sends us into a world that is ugly with violence, that is ugly with hate, that is ugly with sin. And he sends us to be peacemakers like his son. That's what we're to be. God's peacemakers. And the truth is, we can't do it. So wait a minute, Pastor, you said God's sending us to be peacemakers, but we can't do it. Does there seem to be a conflict there? Yes. So what's the answer? The answer is this. Blessed is he who called us to the task, who also will accomplish it in us. His Holy Spirit is what gives us the ability, the strength, and the wisdom to call on God so that there might be reconciliation to God among men. Peacemaking is a divine work that requires the touch of God, period. Here's the question for you. Are you willing to allow God to use you? Are you willing to let God have your life to be a peacemaker between him and men? Do you know what that's called? Missionaries. And every one of us should be and are if we belong to God. We're called missionaries. We might be the name, but I'm hoping and praying that we're acting like it as well. That's the oius instead of just the technos. Okay? What kind of sacrifice are you willing to make so that others might know the eternal peace of God? Now, I'm getting to the heart of my message this morning, because what I want you to understand is more about peacemaking. Because peacemaking is easy. That's a joke. You sure got quiet. Because we all know peacemaking is not easy. Making peace with people can be one of the most difficult things that we do. And not only that, but peacemaking is messy. Peacemaking is difficult. Peacemaking is costly. And for those who get into peacemaking that actually do what God called them to do and they try to be peacemakers, they get bruised and battered in this world. They are called all kinds of names, saying, "Oh, well, you're just intolerant. You're just mean. You're," and all kinds of things, because we try to tell them the truth to bring them to peace with God. Ben Franklin, you all know who Ben Franklin is. If you pull out your money, you'll start finding Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin wrote to John Adams, and he said this. Let me quote to you. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers is, I suppose, for another world. In this world, they are frequently cursed." Amen? If you try to make peace in the real world, if you try to bring people to real peace, often they're cursed. That is just unfortunately true in so many ways. Sometimes we just realize that peacemaking is so difficult, we avoid it. But folks, how can we avoid giving people the true gospel? You cannot. Not if you are oius, Now, if you're just wearing the jersey, if you're just wearing God's jersey and you're not really trying to be a part of the team, then yes, you can be a technos, wear the jersey. And yes, if you're truly saved, and hopefully and prayerfully you are, if you're just wearing God's jersey, and yes, you'll go to heaven. But God said, for those who love me, they're going to be obedient. And if you're obedient to God, you will, as an oikos, that obedient child that acts like God and does what God calls us to do, you will be redeeming folks back to God by sharing with them the truth, the one true way to life through Jesus Christ. Now, we know this. Sometimes peacemaking doesn't work. Have you ever tried to bring people together? Have you ever tried to bring people back to Christ and ever gotten, you know, a heartache instead of their gratitude? Of course you have, because peacemaking is difficult. Sometimes peacemaking doesn't work at all. That's why Romans chapter 12 tells us this. Listen, it says, if possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now let's look at that again. Keep it up there for just a second. What's those first few words? If it's possible. Do you understand that? God knows that some people are not peaceable, that some people won't listen to the truth. So he says, if possible. So we notice that phrase. Sometimes peace just is not possible. There are some people out there that you can't get along with no matter what you do. Amen? They're there. In other words, you can't live with peace in peace with some people. Why? Because they live to fight. They live to be a difficulty. They love to be the thorn. I don't know why, but that's just the way some folks are. So the Bible says, if possible, you need to live peaceably. Now, notice what it says after that. It says, if possible, as far as it depends on you. As much as it depends on you. So in other words, you don't be the problem. Hello? God didn't say, well, if they're troublemakers, just let them have it. There's an old story about a Marine who came to know Jesus Christ. It was told to me to be true. So he came to know Christ as his Lord and Savior. Big, tough, rough and tumble guy. So the guy who led him to the Lord said, look, let's just go down to the local bar. We'll do some witnessing. And the guy says, okay, I'm for that. He goes down to the local bar and he starts talking to people about Jesus Christ, and they get mad at him because they don't want to hear the truth. And one of them hauls off and hits him. Bam! And the guy just stands there and he says, I told you Jesus loves you. And the guy hauled off. Bam! Hits him on the other side. And he says, I'm telling you, Jesus is the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the guy goes, bam! And the newly born Marine decks the guy and mops the floor with him. And the guy who's there with him says, what are you doing? What are you doing? We can't do this. He says, well, you said to turn the other cheek, but you didn't tell me what to do after that. Our problem is we're not seeking what to do after that sometimes. When we're hurt, when we're offended, we just lash out. Folks, how many times do we forgive someone? We know that our Lord told his disciple, he said, 70 times 7, which does not mean 490 times. It means as many times as is required. So what do? We know this. Peacemaking is difficult. Peacemaking requires you to step in. And as far as is depends on you. Now, wait a minute. Who is you? Change that to a pronoun that is personal. As far as it depends on, say it, me. Live peaceably with all men. Troublemaking Christians are not peacemakers. I want you to recall the difference between the two children we talked about at the very beginning, and we've been emphasizing for 3 weeks now. The difference between a technos and an oikos, a child of God that bears the name of God. He's wearing the jersey. But an oiuos not only wears the jersey, but he bears a resemblance to, and he acts like the Father. Are you with me? Are you technos? Are you just a child? Or are you a child that is characterized by the traits of the Father? You see, God wants his children to be bridge builders. He wants all of us to be bridge builders. So the question is, what steps can we take to actively reconcile people back to God? Folks, if you've always been wondering, you say, you know what? I really don't know what to do. Here you go. What steps can we take? I'm going to give you a few to start with. First of all, start at home. Ladies, men, children, older children, adult children, we start at home and we take care of the closest need first. We need to start with our spouses, our husbands, our wives, our children, and we need to make peace with them. It might take this, because you know there's a lot of people out there who say, I don't think I could ever witness to anybody, especially my family, because they know about me. Well, listen, how impressed would they be if you actually go back to them and say, I have been wrong. Forgive me for the way that I have treated you. I am rededicating my heart and life to Christ, and I am rededicating myself to peace in this home. Then you'd be by yourself because everybody in the family would have fainted. Start at home. And then work your way out. There are concentric circles that we need to start with, and that is God and you right in the middle there, and then your family, and then your friends, and then your acquaintances. But folks, we're to be peacemakers, and it's awfully hard to be a peacemaker outside of the home if you can't do it at home. Start at home. Secondly, maybe this should be first, talk to God. Talk to God. What is talking to God? Is there another name for that? Prayer. Pray. Talk to God. It is crucial for you to talk to the Lord your God about what you've done that you need to make peace over, or what people have done to you, and you need to do it before you talk to them. Have you ever noticed that unless you give it to God, it's awful hard to keep peace in your peacemaking attempt? But if you'll give it to God and you ask God for help, you will have the strength to get through something, keeping your tongue like you should. But it's crucial to talk to God first. Secondly, when you talk to God, surrender the conflict to God. That's what prayer is about. Say, God, I realize that either I've done wrong and I surrender what I've done wrong and I want to make it right. You give me your wisdom. Or God, they have done me wrong. I'm going to forgive them right now because that's what your word tells me to do. I'm going to forgive them. And God, I'm going to ask you to help me to bring peace to this situation. Surrender the conflict to God. It will give you a perspective and a tenderness that nothing else will. Because when we surrender and we listen, God then helps us to see the deeper needs in the relationship. Perhaps what we did wrong, perhaps a need in their heart and life, and maybe what even caused the problem. So we listen to God, talk to God. And by the way, that's a part of the prayer. Prayer is supposed to be dialogue, not monologue. You don't just talk to God. You don't just ask him for requests and then jump and run. Sit, reflect, meditate, and listen. If the conflict is indeed ours, if we started it, if we have a problem in it, and even if we didn't start it, but we have helped it continue on, God will show us where we're wrong, because that's what God's Holy Spirit does. He convicts us of wrong. And if there is a lack of peace in our home or a lack of peace with others and we are wrong in it, then we need to make it right. God will show you where you're wrong. Even if the other person is 99% wrong and you only have 1% in it, guess what? You still have to account before God for your 1%. And most of the time, it's not just 1%. Amen? Wow. I don't know if anybody would agree with me on that. Most of the time, it's a two-way street. Now, I'm not saying that they don't start it, but there's a lot of times that our attitudes and the way we react to people, it eggs it on rather than bringing peace. So God will show us where we're wrong, and we have to confess our error, even if it's just 1%. See, the third thing, take the first step. Man, it's quiet. None of us like to take the first step. Jesus is very clear on this. Jesus is not just very clear. Jesus stated it numerous times in the Word. Listen to Matthew chapter 5, just a few verses down from where we're reading right now. But it says, Jesus said, Matthew 5, 23 through 24, so if you are offering your gift at the altar, and we know that giving is important to God, worship is important to God, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So God says, don't you be offering presents to me when your heart is not right. Because you see, he said that he would rather have a broken, contrite, and right heart than any other kind of gift before him. I'm going to tell you, I think this might be one of the most ignored verses in all the Bible. Have you ever come to church mad at your wife, guys? He says, man, you were listening to our conversation this morning. Ladies, have you ever been miffed at that man before you got here? He didn't even help me with the kids this morning. I dressed up and I looked nice. He didn't even say anything. He said, And that's the light ones. Have you ever noticed that the gates of the church perform miracles on people? Listen, I'd love to have some cameras out there if people are coming down the road. I'm reaching back to the kids. Looking at the husband and the wife. And the gates come in. People are like, oh, that was my car. Okay. Been there. Take the first steps. Again, this might be one of the most ignored passages of Scripture in all the Bible. Oh, it'll pass. We'll get by it. Sweep it under the rug. Well, I'm going to tell you, you know what? A balloon can only take so much before it busts, right? The tea kettle can only hold too much, so much before the tempest spouts out the top. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, let's add this a little more. If your brother sins against you, go back. If your husband sins against you, go back. If your wife sins against you, if your friend sins against you, if your children, and so on and so on and so on. But if your brother sins against you, go and rebuke him in private. Not in front of anybody else, in private. If they listen to you, you have won your brother, your friend, your wife, your husband, your child back. But folks, God's word says you are to make the first move. Peacemakers take the initiative. Are you a peacemaker of God? Here's a question. I've had people ask me, why in the world should I go first and try to make up with them when they are the one who hurt me? Now, if I was to ask you to raise your hand, if that's ever the way you felt, everybody would need to raise their hand. Why should I go first when they're the one who started it? They're the one who hurt me. Let me tell you why. It's the same one you give your kids. Because Jesus said so. Hello? Bible answer. You know, somebody says, the right answer in church is always Jesus. You know the answer to this? Jesus. Let me tell you the answer to this one. Jesus said so. For the Bible tells me. Because Jesus said so. And if my Jesus says so, that's enough. Can I tell you a secret? Here's one that the world needs to know, and every church member needs to know, and every family needs to know. This one is going to help you. Are you ready? Conflict is never resolved accidentally. Conflict is never resolved without somebody stepping up. It never happens on its own. The first step you might need to take, if it's somebody that you're really having a hard time starting a conversation with, maybe the first thing you need to do and your first step is a letter. Just a letter to say, you know, the conflict between us has broken my heart. Please forgive me. And don't go, you know, forgive me of my 1%. How about you just say, forgive me for where I have done wrong to you? That's a good way to start, always. Forgive me. Maybe the second need is to make a phone call. Mom, dad, son, daughter, friend, I'm calling to tell you I'm sorry. Maybe it takes a visit, because the scripture says, if you remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Go and be reconciled. That's active. It didn't say wait and be reconciled. It says go and be reconciled. If your brother sins against you, go. Talk to them in private. I don't know what it's going to take for you, but I don't know of anything in this world that has more impact on our day-to-day living than relationships with each other. I don't know of anything that keeps us from worshiping any more than a bad relationship, a lack of forgiveness, harboring anger. But I do know this without any question. God says it depends. He depends on you. It depends on me to take the first step. Two more. One, speak gently to the other person. Amen. Don't go in like a house of fire. Don't go in like the judge and jury. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 is one that our children learn. A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. Ephesians 4:29. I love this version. This version, let's put it up. Is it up there? Yeah. Soft answer turns away. Now show the next one. The LEB. I wasn't really familiar with that, but I said, man, I like that one. That's why I used it. So look what it says. No rotten talk should come from your mouth. That'll preach. Amen? That'll preach. No rotten talk should come from your mouth, but only what is good for the building up of someone in need in order to give grace to those who hear. Listen, we need to write that on our bathroom mirror. Put it on the refrigerator. Put it on the mirror of our car. Maybe on the front on that little thing on the hood, you know, and remind us as we're going. No rotten talk should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up. So speak gently. And here's something that's hard to remember and hard to do. Emphasize reconciliation, not resolution. So what does that mean? Resolution is, well, let's just figure out who is wrong here. And if that's your purpose, you're never going to have peace, because nobody likes to be told they're wrong. And you were wrong when you said it otherwise. Now, how'd that make you feel? Nobody likes to be wrong. Nobody likes to be told they're wrong. Nobody likes to be corrected. Emphasize reconciliation, not resolution. Don't worry about who's wrong and who's right. Just make it right. Just get it right. Reconciliation is more crucial than trying to figure out who was right or wrong. Turn it loose. How about this one? Get over it. Move on. Consider their situation. You don't know exactly what all is going on in their life. You might never know what's happening in their life. Consider their situation and what's going on. How about this one? Attack the problem, not the person. Boy, that one's tough, isn't it? Come on. How about some confession here? It's just you and me. Nobody else is looking, so don't look. Do this. It's just you and me. God's word says that we need to be careful to speak gently to people, that we shouldn't be judging. So attack the problem, not the person. How about this one? Clarify what you're trying to do. Don't confront them. I have all these. Do I have these written down for you? If I don't, I'll get them for you. Clarify. Don't confront. And then this one, cooperate as much as possible. There's a new one for us. Be cooperative. Be ye kind one to another. Mom, I think that was the first verse I ever learned, wasn't it? Be ye kind. Maybe the Lord knew that's the one I needed the most through my life. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Ephesians 4:32. Cooperate as much as possible. Now, how about this one? One more before we move to close. Stop talking about the people who have hurt you to other people. There's a word for that, and it's not called sharing. What's it called? Gossip. Well, you know how they hurt me. Listen, been there. I've heard it. I've done it. We need to be more careful. Stop talking about the people who have hurt you to other people. Nothing, listen to me, nothing disqualifies a peacemaker more than talking about people rather than talking to people. It disqualifies you from being a peacemaker because you cannot make peace when they find out you're out there gossiping about them. There's an old proverb, it's an old Spanish proverb, it goes like this: whoever gossips to you will gossip of you. You want to share? They're going to. True children of God. True children of God are not gossips, nor are they troublemakers. Now I'm going to tell you the honest truth here. You cannot be a peacemaker unless you have found God's peace. Can't happen. So when you get ready to be a peacemaker, you come to God and make peace with Him. First of all, in your heart against your sins, to receive the gift of Christ Jesus, of His blood shed on the cross. And then secondly, you get prayed up. You confess your sins. You get things right with God right here, right now, so that God can use you. Because God is not going to be able to use you if your heart is so messed up. It's still filled with anger. It's still filled with unforgiveness. It's still filled with bitterness. If you don't get rid of that in your heart, how in the world can you be a peacemaker? God wants you to have His peace. And you can't be a peacemaker until you found it. Here's a question for you. Do you know the peacemaker? Do you know Christ Jesus? Do you have a relationship, a love relationship with God's Prince of Peace? God is looking for His technos to become ouios. God is looking for His children wearing the jersey to get in the game. Don't stand on the sidelines. Get involved. I pray that you are indeed a child of God. And if you are, I'm going to ask you to step up to His call. Will you be a son? Will you move from technos to oios so that you reflect the character of God? Will you take up the mantle of peacemaking? There's plenty of work to be done, amen? It starts with knowing Christ. Would you bow your head? Close your eyes for just a moment. Enter your prayer closet with God, won't you? Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you? Do you belong to God? That starts it. Then, if you do, and I pray that you do, are you trying to be like Him? If you've never asked Christ to come into your heart and your life, if you've never asked Him to forgive your sins, if you've never told Him, I love you, God, and I want to be your child forever and forevermore. Forgive me, I love you, help me, save me. I know I can't get there any other way except through you. If you've never prayed a prayer like that, would you now, if God is moving your heart to do that, and then tell someone? Because God's word says you must confess Him with your mouth. And friends, if you've done that and you have some places in your life where there's a lack of peace, would you make a commitment right now to be God's peacemaker, beginning in your home? Now, don't you even begin to think that I am so naive to think that some families got here this morning and there was a torrential downpour in your house today. But God got you here anyway. There was a reason for that. Maybe you're listening online and you're struggling with this. Maybe you're sitting right here in this pew and you're struggling with this. What would God have you do? You be the one to go to them. Start it. Be gentle. Be kind. Start it at home. Father, this is our call to you. Move our hearts. Pull us off high center, Lord, so that we can get moving for you. God, we may have been stationary so long, it's hard for us to move. But I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would move the hearts that need to be lifted out of their place and move to forgiveness and move to reconciliation and move to peacemaking, starting in their own family. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd give them the grace and the peace and the wisdom to move outward. Oh, what a difference it makes. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God.